God bless you. This morning, I'm going to kind of jump into the message part and start with this thought that I will be sharing, but why we are a church. Why we are a church. And this morning I'm going to be talking about seeking the lost. This will kind of be part one, because during the summer, and it'll kind of be different messages, and you'll get part one, and in a few weeks you might get part two, but during the summer I want to speak on some subjects that we as a congregation need to reconsider in our lives. Messages that deal with our purpose, why we are a church, and why God has called us to do the things that we do. And it all starts with what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. He starts by saying, therefore, what's that word? Next word. Go. And church, you hear this time and time again when we talk about missions. Go, go, go. And it's so important for us to go. But I'm going to be talking about later, but I'm going to hit this second part. And what? Make disciples. And who do we make disciples of? Just the people who look like us? Just the people that we like? Everybody we come in contact. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Church, that is our great commission. That's what we call it. It's our marching orders as followers of Jesus Christ. And so the very first part of our purpose as a church is to go and seek the lost. We are to tell people about Jesus, bring them to him, and teach them. So in that process, we are making disciples. But does anyone here, though, in the fall, I talked about our mission statement. Does anybody remember our mission statement? Grow is good. We're going to talk about grow. That's still something that is important. But what's the real mission? Be. B-E. Bringing people to Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard this now? And equipping them to be like him. Church, I am trying my best, because somewhere in your heart, you have got to get this deep within you that you understand our mission. B stands for what? Thank you. E stands for? Go and make, bring, and equip so they look like him, making disciples. Church, somewhere I need you to start getting this into your thought process, that you will be able to immediately come up with, what is my mission? Why? This is not just the mission of Northfield Christian. This is the mission of God, to bring people to Jesus Christ and equip them to be like him. So, church, I am convinced, though, if we will recognize the reason we exist, then as a congregation, we will grow. We will have that part where we're growing in Christ, and that we're learning to relate to people around us in the right ways, and outreach and worship. That's the grow part. That's how we do the be. But we need to understand our mission. Now, in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. There are three parables that illustrate the importance of this going and telling the good news of Jesus. You have probably heard these parables, and so I'm not going to read the entire passage or scripture to you this morning, but I'm going to remind you of them, and I'm going to summarize some of those parables and what they teach. Heavenly Father, help me today, and then help us as a church to not just be hearers of your wonderful word, but doers, active in our lives with your word. So, Lord, grow us today, we pray. Amen. Let me start, though, with the very first part of this passage, because you need to realize that Jesus told these parables in response to criticism. Anybody ever been criticized? Do you know how to respond to criticism? Maybe we can learn something today, but he responds to criticism by telling three stories. But let's see what the criticism was. In Luke 15, 1 and 2, tax collectors. I mean, just got through IRS season in April and you're all happy. You know, my taxes are going up. Anybody else's? My main reason is I'm losing kids. And so I'm not as happy with tax collectors as I used to be. No, but the tax collectors. But I want you to hear biblically what they're attached to. And I'm not talking about the IRS, okay? But listen biblically, because these people were cheats. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners. Anybody know what a sinner is? Anybody ever been one? Just one of you. One, two, three, four, maybe, okay, half honest. We've all sinned and come short of the glory. So we've all been there. But these were notorious sinners. But listen to what they did. They often came to listen to Jesus teach. But here's where the criticism came in. Verse 2. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Basically, the Pharisee leaders and the religious people were saying, Jesus, if you are who you claim to be, the Son of God, then you wouldn't be spending your time with the scum of society. You would be spending your time with quality people like us. That's really what they were saying. Can you imagine that? But Jesus wanted to make a difference in everybody he encountered. He didn't want to leave out the notorious sinners or the religious. He wanted them all to hear. Church, you need to know that when people encounter Jesus, he can and will change their lives. And even sinners will listen to the truth if Jesus is in it. But if it's just religion without relationship, you need to know that your words will fall short of the potential of what Jesus wants to do in the lives of the people around you. Jesus wants us to encounter lost people in our personal world. Because, church, we have been called to seek the lost. In response to this religious criticism, Jesus then tells three parables, three stories to this entire crowd. And he begins by saying this. If you were a shepherd and had 100 sheep, and then you came home at night and you counted them and you discovered you only had 99, what would you do? Well, let me tell you, he says, let me tell you what you would do. If you were a good shepherd, then you would go out and you would search for that lost sheep. You would search over the rocks, you would look over the ledges until you found that sheep. And when you found it, you would put it on your shoulders and you would come home rejoicing. The next story, Jesus speaking to this whole crowd says, suppose you were a woman who lost a valuable coin. What would you do? He said, let me tell you what you would do. You would light a lamp. And you would move the furniture in the house and get a broom, and you would go through every nook and cranny of the house until you found that coin. And then when you found it, there would be a celebration. You'd call up your neighbors and say, rejoice with me, I have found that which was lost. And then Jesus goes to a third story. He says, suppose you're a father and you have a rebellious son, one who demands, I want my inheritance. And reluctantly, you give it to him, but he goes off into some other country where he squanders it in wild living, and all the money gets wasted. But finally, that son finds himself in a hog pen and so hungry that he's even desiring to eat what the pigs eat. But he comes to his senses and says, you know, I'd be better off as one of my father's hired hands or servants than to be here. And so the boy heads home, and the father greets him and welcomes him home again as a son. And he throws a party. You probably have heard these parables. We title them the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the prodigal son. But I want you to realize that he told these three stories to teach people that he had come for really one primary purpose, and that was to seek and to save those who are lost. In fact, he clearly states it when he, if you remember when he went to Zacchaeus' home and had the same problem with the religious people, and they're like, why would you go to the tax collector's home? And yet at the very end of that evening, he says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So this morning, I want us to draw some lessons from these stories. First, I want us to understand why we seek the lost. Second, let's look at how we seek the lost. And third, let's see the reward of finding the lost. So number one, why do we seek the lost? One thing you need to know is this. It is possible, did you know this? It's possible for us to do the right things, but with the wrong reason or wrong motive. Did you know that? You ever done the right thing but really didn't have the right motive behind it? Church, if our reason for wanting to go out and reach out and find the lost is just to build a big church or to stroke our ego or just to brag about what we're doing, that's the wrong reason. And you need to examine your motive if that's why you're doing it. Church, why do we seek the lost? I believe it's this, because they are lost and still in their sins, just like we once were. Have we forgotten that we were once sinners? Have we lost sight and we become saints and therefore we just worship? And we forgot about the mission? That's why, though, we are saved, because it's now the love of Christ in us that compels us to reach out and share that good news with others. To tell them that Jesus offers forgiveness and you can be part of the family of God. Let me ask you this. Have you ever lost something valuable and you went searching hard for it? Anybody? A few of you? I remember a time that Tammy and I could not find one of our children while we were at the mall. We were at 12 Oaks Mall. We were just inside JCPenney there. I think we were on the second level. This is how I remember it. And I do not remember which child was missing. But we did the count. And for those who may not know, Tammy and I have 6 children. And so we did the count, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And they were not all there. And so the search begins. I looked through clothes racks. We were standing next to some coats that were really long. And I'm like, surely one of them's gotten in there and hid inside that coat. Come on, anybody else? Your kids, you know. So I'm looking in there. We sent a couple of the kids because we were near the entrance. So I sent them out, just kind of look and see if maybe that one is out there. And it was never quite panic, but there was anxiety because one was lost. It wasn't long. We did find them, but there's a moment. You need to understand that we felt the loss of someone precious to us. And neither one of us ever want to lose one of our children. Not just naturally, but definitely not spiritually. Church, God does not want to lose anyone. But the question comes, when was the last time you searched diligently for someone who is lost from God? And honestly, I can tell you, you do not have to look very far. Listen to what the scripture says in Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area. I want you to notice something about Jesus. He could have come and set up in Jerusalem and said, hey, here's the church. Everybody who wants to come, come to Jerusalem, meet with me. I've got a brand new temple and it's going to be wonderful and everybody's welcome. But that's not what Jesus did. In fact, the very commission that he gives us is go, and that's what he did. In fact, many times you'll read it that he left this city and headed to this city. He left that city and went to this city. Jesus traveled throughout all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Church, I want you to know there is still power in the name of Jesus. He is still the healer. He is still the redeemer. He is still the only one that can have that kind of power to redeem and set people free. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. Catch this part. Like sheep without a shepherd. That one lost sheep, if the good shepherd wouldn't have gone, he wouldn't have had a shepherd. But he had a shepherd who went looking. Verse 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Church, that worker is you. You belong to the Lord of the harvest, and he has called us to go into all the world. You see, Jesus was the one who came first and illustrated that principle by being a great shepherd. And he showed us the way safely back into the fold of God. But now Jesus has commissioned his disciples, us, the church. What are we to do as the church? We're to go and seek the lost. That's what we need to be doing. And so it comes to the second question. How do we seek the lost? We know where to seek them. How do we do it? Well, first of all, go searching. When the shepherd lost his sheep, what did he do? Either you're not listening or you don't want to talk. When the shepherd could not find the one sheep, what did he do? When searching, when looking for him, he looked and he looked until he found it. He did the search until he found it. When the woman realized one of her 10 coins was missing, what did she do? Search, swept the house. I got to get more light in here. I've got to get something that will give evidence of where that coin is. So searching is the very first method. We need to search for the lost. I don't know whether you noticed this or not, but there is a difference, though, between the first two parables. In the first parable, the sheep was lost out there. But the coin was lost in the house. And church, that's why I cannot think that everybody is just safe because you showed up at the house. That's why when I sometimes give altar calls and it seems that nobody raises their hands, I cannot just assume and think that everybody in here is saved and everything's okay, because there are some who get lost in the house. And we need to do whatever is possible to bring people to Jesus. That's why Jesus took time to talk to a woman at a well. That's why he called Zacchaeus out of a tree and he went to his house. That's why he spent almost all night talking to Nicodemus, a religious leader, and telling him, this is how you're born again. And even, listen to this, at the end of Jesus' life, one of his final acts on earth was to speak to a thief who was hung next to him. And he told him, today you will be with me in paradise. Why? Because he was about lost people all the way. It was his mission from the moment he came to the mission when he gave his life on the cross. His mission was to go and tell and find lost people. I'm glad that we have stories in this place this morning of people being found. I'm glad you're found. I'm glad you believe in Jesus. But you know, there's still far too many who are lost, and you encounter them day after day. Church, why aren't we searching a little deeper into the lives of those around us to see if they're lost? Did you know that many have no clue that they're lost? They're wandering and roaming around, but you have the words of life. You can bring them to Jesus. We need to be searching. We need to be looking. We need to be going. But there's a second method in that third story. We know the shepherd went out searching. We know the woman searched the house. But the father stayed home. I don't know if it would have done any good for the father to go out searching for his boy and drag him home. In fact, from the story, I believe the son needed to come home on his own. He needed to come to his senses. But what did the father do? I think this is interesting. The father was waiting, we know that. But did you know he made his home so appealing that his son wanted to come back home? I want you to think about that. Church, we are to search, but we are also to make this place so warm and so inviting, so appealing that people want to come here. To make our church home welcoming. I find it interesting that the father did this before his son ever left. It was already, it didn't change his mode of thinking, well, I need to make my house now. It was already supposed to be that way. So that when his son came to his senses and said, it's better. I'm already a hired hand, but it's better. It's better to be a hired hand in my father's house. One group, church, that I really would love to see come home is those who have been hurt. They've been hurt by some church, or maybe it was a well-intended person, but they were kind of on the religious side and not the relationship side. You know what I'm talking about? And somehow people have got offended and they're wounded and they've not been back in a church. And now somehow they're so disillusioned and so disappointed with what church is that they don't even want to come to this place. But this place, this church, this body of believers is going to be a place of healing and restoration and redeeming and rebuilding of what the enemy has done in the lives of people. Church, wherever there are prodigals out there, they need to know that this church is a place of love and acceptance, and there's people here that will understand and reach out, pray for them, and minister to them. That does not soften the truth of God's word at all. But church, I've watched it where people have come back And people in the church are so frustrated, like the older son in the prodigal son story, that they get all upset. And I don't want us to be that way. I want us to be a church that's so welcoming. I don't know what you've been through, but I know you were lost, and now you're found. Because this is a home where they are welcome. And when we become that church, there is the reward of finding the lost. What's that reward? Rejoicing. We'll have the worship team go ahead and come. When the prodigal son came back home, Luke 15, 22 to 24 tells us this. But the father said to his servants, catch this word, quick. Quick. Oh, he's come back home. We'll get to it in a moment. And quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Remember the shepherd who lost the sheep and found him? He told his friends and neighbors, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. And then Jesus adds in verse 7 of Luke 15 these words, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Church, I'm glad you're here, and I hope you are found this morning. But I want you to know, you're going, well, he didn't rejoice over me, and he doesn't know my story. I don't know all your stories. But when these lost people begin to come in here, and I begin to celebrate over their lives, I don't need you to be jealous. I need you to rejoice. Bobby, I'm glad I know about your story. But I don't know about everybody else. I don't know exactly how everybody got found. And Pastor Pierre, we're talking about how we're in the future. So get ready, because we're going to come to you because I want to know your story. And we're going to begin to do some video testimonies that I want to put out on our website. When people hit it and it says hurting, you can hit hurting. And we're going to have a story from your life of how God redeemed you because you were lost, but now you're found. But if I don't ever celebrate your story, I want to celebrate and rejoice because the 99, you're safe. You're good. Yay. But when that one comes in, who's been wrecked by the world, church, it is time to lift our voice because all of heaven rejoices. When the woman found that coin, she called her friends and her neighbors and said, rejoice with me. I found my lost coin. And then in verse 10, Jesus tells a little more. He says, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now listen, if the salvation of one soul is that important to angels, how much more important should it be to the church of the living God? Church, our rejoicing should be great. Because the decision to follow Jesus affects that person's soul for eternity. Today, in this house, what decision have you made? Or what decision do you need to make? Are you still lost in your sin? Are you still carrying the weight of this world? Because this morning, you can be set free. We sang it as we opened this morning. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free to dance and sing. But I wonder sometimes, I looked at my girl this morning, I'm like, we sing a lot about dancing and hardly ever do it. Jesus, break them. Break them, Lord, because I want to do some rejoicing. I want people to be free. That's why Jesus came. But somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to tell them. And that somebody's the church. So we need to tell them. You can believe in Jesus. You can accept Him as your Lord and Savior. He will forgive you. He will redeem your life. He'll give you purpose for every day that you live. Why? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Whoever. But are we looking? With your heads bowed for a moment, balcony or main floor, in the house this morning, in the house. If you're still lost in your sin, would you come home? If you've been playing the church game and just showing up because your spouse comes, or you just are here because it seems to be the right thing to do, this morning, would you really come home? And I'm looking for you, because I don't want you to be lost. I want you to be found. And we want to welcome you home today. Balcony or main floor, if that's you and you're saying, I'm willing to surrender my life, I'm really willing to accept Jesus as my Savior because I really need to do that, would you lift up your hand this morning? I'm just looking around, balcony or main floor. Just glancing. Yes, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else? I don't want to miss anybody. Amen. This morning there's one hand. That's okay. Because Jesus, the good shepherd, went looking for one. But I'm going to ask all of us to pray with this one. Reconfirming your own decision. But with this one, we're going to put this one on our shoulders today. And we're going to lift him up and we're going to say, we're getting it right. We've found the lost sheep. So would you pray with me this morning, each and every one of us, say, Heavenly Father,
thank you
for seeking me. This morning, I believe
you sent Jesus
to be the Savior of my life.
And today,
by faith,
I accept your forgiveness.
I choose this day
to live for you.
Be my Lord.
Save my soul.
In Jesus' name. I choose also
to live for you.
Amen.
Amen.
And all of heaven rejoices over one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph.
But for the one, I welcome you home. Welcome home.
But I want you to disciple. We're going to have to talk about that. We go, but we need to make. Because I believe there is a keeping power of God that the church needs to walk in. So we're not floating in and out of our belief or floating in and out of who we are in Christ or misunderstanding because the enemy has lied to us and he's destroyed so many that they do not understand who they are anymore. Why? Because they've not been discipled. So I want to disciple. I want to grow us. I want to get us involved in groups where we can grow and God can use us even to further the kingdom. Church, we have been called to seek the lost. We are to bring people to Jesus. Now, clearly hear me this morning. I love church, but I would rather you bring them to Jesus than to just church. This might be a great place to start, and that's okay. But you need to know they need to meet Jesus. He's the one that we lift up. He's the one that we declare. And then with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will equip them to be like Jesus. We need to be the church, bringing and equipping. But somehow we need to embrace people. Everybody say embrace people. Somehow we have built walls in our lives and we say, I don't know if I want those people invited. I don't know if I want those people to be a part of my life. And it is sad that we have done this. And you may be thinking, Pastor, you're crazy. I haven't done that. We have done it. And sometimes we've done it without thinking. Some people we've written off because they're so notorious as a sinner. They're so wicked. They're so messed up. I don't want to have anything to do with them. Maybe they're the one you need to go and eat with. They're lost. They need you. You know people I do not know. But if you need me to, tell them, listen, would you come and have dinner with me and my pastor? I'll step in beside you. We'll do it together. But somehow we've got to go after the lost again and recognize they need Jesus. I want to embrace them. We need to reach out to them. Quit waiting for them to tear down the wall. You tear it down. You embrace them because I want them to encounter the love of Jesus. I want them to experience the love of God in you and what He's done. Your story, telling them about what He's done in your life. Because then they will encounter the Savior of the world. And He will save their soul. And it will change their eternity. And church, there will be rejoicing. Could you imagine? Every week, finding the lost, searching the house, going out, and making this a place where whoever walks in, they are welcome. They are welcome. Why? Because we have a mission to go and seek